Good evening, good evening. From a slightly more peaceful orbital studio this week, it looks like all the armoured personnel from the last war have decamped somewhere else.
You mean I dressed up specially like this and there's no war anymore?
I was looking forward to trying out all this new gear. I mean, what am I going to do with all these weapons now?
Could try cooking your dinner with that plasma rifle.
Tried that. The crockery just wasn't the same ever again.
I don't need a gun. I've got a pan.
Ouch. And a fearsome implement that is too. That's left a bump. Ow. Well, I suppose we ought to catch up on the news headlines. Maestro, the bong, please.
Pantheon goes from Odin to no chin.
Now you know how Alex does it, why not give it a try?
Technology gives us a new walking stick.
The Hutton Biathlon? Yeah, dream on.
Hanky gets 0-star reviews.
Shoulder pads? They're so 3308.
We take Barnard's star very seriously. We're dicing with death.
And news of community-led events.
Commander Pantheon, the stalwart who's been on board Hutton before Hutton was Hutton, when Hutton was just somewhere a long way away. Mug creator, powerhouse behind almost all that we do. The metaphorical long-lasting batteries that power the Hutton rabbit. Sorry, bunny. Has changed. Sporting his all-father beard, resplendent with its rat's nests and samples of his last few hundred meals, which has grown over many months. He cut a splendid figure on remote calls. From his perspective, he was a sober, imposing character. From everyone else's point of view, he was a man hiding the bottom half of his face behind a poorly maintained sheep. And they could only hope that the thing moving in the centre of all that hair was his mouth, and not the back end of the sheep. Something had to go. Something had to change. Something had to be organised. Pantheon's hand is never far from the handle of the charity bucket, always prepared to rattle it to make money for one or another, or where possible both, of our favourite charities. Pantheon decided to terminate two avians with one missile and remove enough weight from his chin so that he could once more hold his head upright, while simultaneously putting a spring in his step by raising money for charity. So, after much knocking on doors, asking for help, and steeling of nerves, the fateful day arrived. And with over 1,500 credits plus tax rebates at stake, he was committed. First came the hedge trimmers, then the blowtorch, then the scythe. And before everyone's eyes, Pantheon had the years stripped from him. Within a few minutes, the wild man of Borneo, all right, Hutton, slipped back to his time as Victorian-era spring-heeled Jack, and thence to a youthful, fresh-faced look, which his wife has described as disturbing but invigorating. The people who will be helped by the money Pantheon has raised by this action say, thank you, babyface. Everyone else is busily looking up how fast facial hair can grow back.
Several times over a few weeks, we've mentioned Alex Zuno's magnum opus, which, despite the sound, is not a large Irish cat, but a comprehensive guide to being effective at fighting pirates, thus gaining glory, credits, and the adulation of your fellow pilots. The good news is that the first draft is now complete, covering all aspects of ships, loadouts, locations, and techniques. Whether you're a novice wanting to have a good start at PVE, or an experienced pilot who just can't believe the vast numbers that Alex ratcheted up week after week, there's something for everyone. If you've looked at this guide in weeks past, then it's time to revisit it, as the first two sections have been extended, and there's a whole new page that's been added recently. If you're a new pilot and want to learn the best way to fight pirates right from the start, then again, this is the place to go. Alex has been very generous in sharing her knowledge, which has been hard won over a very long time, and I think she'd find the most fitting thanks for all this hard work would be for pilots to take this on board and create new and better records for bounty hunting. So read, learn, apply, and you too could have your name spoken with awe week after week in the Hutton Sports Report. All of this awaits at https://iniv.space/hunter.
In the galaxy, there are many rare goods, most of which Amelia has shoved into her mouth for one reason or another. The newest one, however, would not be a suitable candidate for oral ingestion. It's a stick. A walking stick. Now, when we say a walking stick, you might be thinking of the sort that's hewn from hazel or chestnut or even blackthorn, which provides support for the weary traveller on long hikes, can be used to poke at snakes or used to tell the time or work out the height of a pyramid if you know how far away Cairo is, or something like that. But no, here we're looking at a different kind of support. Support for the ego in the form of a space selfie stick. Now, don't all go running off to check. You won't currently find your selfie stick listed on the loadout for any of your suits, nor can you buy one from Pioneer Supplies, because every suit comes equipped with the same model, the Selfie Masterette Junior. This is a basic model that has an easy extending mechanism that allows for photographs from great distances at one moment, and then fails at 10 centimetres from your face in another direction, seemingly lowering a modesty veil so that it's unable to see what you're doing. And if you've ever tried doing anything in a spacesuit that would require the use of a modesty veil, you'll know that the only likely outcome is a sprain and a very hard to explain bruise. We understand that engineers will soon be able to upgrade the selfie stick, allowing for aerial shots from such majestic height that you'll be almost invisible. You'll be able to cry, "I can see my house from up here," and you'll need to post a warning for low-flying spaceships in the area. Rival companies say that the selfie stick is just a relic of the past, and the time has come for a forward-looking way of everyone being able to show off their latest biological samples or sunset when it reaches just the right shade of pink. "Prepare to be freed from the stick," is their slogan, and they have shown a concept model of a camera that can easily be removed from the suit, placed on a rock, and, wait for it, you can press a button and then have 10 seconds to scamper back, smile, try to face the right direction, show your indecision as to whether you should be crouching or not, ask anyone else in the vicinity, "Does that light look like it's blinking to you?" then seamlessly add another great shot to your collection of natural-looking poses of people in spacesuits with their eyes closed.
Commander Infinite Dreamer threw the metaphorical cat amongst the thought experiment pigeons this week as he postulated that there should be a second Odyssey-enabled stage for commanders attempting the Hutton Run. He envisaged starting the clock at the same time as usual, i.e. as soon as you exit hyperspace in the vicinity of Alpha Centauri, but not to stop it as you dock at Hutton. Instead, to finish as you down your first drink, reminiscent of the scene from Ice Cold in Alex, where our heroes celebrate a very long, tiring and hot journey with an ice-cold beer, except that space is a lot colder than fridge temperatures, and any drink that cold would freeze your insides before they shatter. And we're also not sure who Alex is. It's a nice idea, but we can think of a few problems. One dot tab, there would be an unfair advantage for anyone who flew a ship where the disembarkation point was closer to the hangar door. 2 dot tab. The bartender doesn't actually serve drinks. We suspect there's another person who does, but they're of diminutive height and we can't see them over the counter. 3 dot tab. Antares Fusion, keeper of the Hutton Helper Hamsters, tells us that the barman is a very shady character who never writes anything down on principle, so there'll be no record of you reaching the bar other than your selfie, and who's got time to keep looking at all those photos? 4 dot tab. If you've had a frustrating time with padlockers, the last thing you need is to have to push your way through a crowd at the bar, all of whom are waving large credit notes in the vain attempt to grab the attention of anyone who was actually serving. 5.tab. Your mate would probably have to do the equivalent of a wing signal and get in around beforehand, and at Hutton, keeping your eye on your pint is a full-time occupation.
We've reported in the past how King Hanky and his clones have the galaxy's largest collection of elite statuses, and that this has created a shortage in the galaxy. Now that an afternoon's mining can get you one elite, a round trip to Colonia can get you another, obviously not on Hanky's fleet carrier bus service, and although combat is harder to obtain, wise commanders know that Thargoid throttling is the most efficient way to your third. So with all that, it's necessary for something to be done about it. Well, the Pilots Federation have managed to put their heads together, have gone, ow, why did you do that? Then, after taking some paracetamol, come up with a special reward scheme. Stars. Not the huge balls of gas that cause pain for those impudent enough to stare at them, or to fly too close with wax wings or a sidewinder, but those little twinkly bits of sparkly plastic that you last saw on a name badge at McThargoid's. Yes, reaching elite is not enough anymore. You need to get your stars for Trader of the Month, Most Helpful Smuggler, Least Likely to Clog Cubicle 3, and many more before you can truly say that you've achieved all that you can achieve. King Hanky, when approached for comment, merely replied, "Bugger."
Whilst some pilots are happy to spend their days lounging around in the same old flight suit that everyone else has, there are a growing number of them that have taken to being perennial dedicated followers of fashion. Not for them, the drab overalls and standard freaky split-toe boots of the impoverished Sidewinder pilot. Instead, they adorn themselves with colourful onesies, stylish, high-collared jackets, with ostentatiously coloured sleeves and combats. Those are cargo pants for the night shift commanders. With pockets large enough to secrete an entire larder full of pocket munchings for nibbling on during radio shows. The ability, for some commanders, to now set foot into the bar for a quick liaison with an NPC or two, or throw some shapes on the dance floor to any number of tunes from the jukebox, as long as those shapes are standing upright or bobbing up and down like you've got some Karsuki locusts nibbling your bum, has meant that tailors throughout the galaxy have been hard at work putting their late spring 3307 collections together. From desert chick through to high plains grifter, complete with wide-brimmed hat, you can now accessorize your high-tech, highly expensive survival suit in just about any way you like. Except, of course, if you're a fan of shoulder pads. Shoulder pads are right out. They're not trendy. Try to apply your decal to your American football-esque reinforced tackling protection, and the holo paint will end up hovering in space. What's more, there appears to have been a bit of a mix-up, and for those identifying with the female form, just about anything for the top half appears to be totally invisible. Of course, thanks to high-G protective undergarments, many blushes from all parties have been spared, and, of course, the Pilots Federation are looking into it as a matter of importance. Mucky lot. We are reassured by the cognoscenti of the world of fashion that 3308 will be the year of the shoulder pads, the Dynasty Dominator, the retro 80s Artemis, and of course the new romantic Maverick variants will be all the rage. Just as soon as they can work out how to attach the oversized elements to your shoulders without resorting to a nail gun superglue and lots of Velcro.
The security lockdown that was pending for Barnard Star took hold on Friday and is still in effect, reducing Hutton influence to a paltry 25%. So turn in Hutton bounties in Barnard Star, and don't forget, You can earn these in any Hutton system. Four of the other six Barnard Star factions are busy squabbling in wars, so the opportunity to increase Hutton's influence is almost nil, until, of course, the toys are collected, put back in their various prams, and Teddy is retrieved from the corner, and his arms and legs are stitched back on. Not the head, though, otherwise they'll never learn. This week, floundering at the shallow end alongside Barnard Star are last week's joint losers, Ross671, recovering from a pirate attack, and Kakari. Alpha Centauri staggered over the 40% threshold like a paralytic newlywed after recovering from last week's not-so-serious megacorporation challenge. And no, that's not a new Holoscreen game show. Happily and finally, Hutton lost the war in the Aspellini system and withdrew disgracefully, but all is not lost as we have another war in somewhere else we don't want to be. Carson and Ari, the long-stay hotel from which we don't seem able to ever leave, is giving Hutton an opportunity to express checkout, and on the bright side, I won't have to think of a new hotel gag each week. If you want to be certain of a Hutton defeat, and the right answer is yes, you do, then fight for Carson and Ari Limited against Hutton, which will push us into the departure lounge. Let's hope we don't fall asleep in the toilet and miss the flight. In addition to Barnard Star, there is only one other adverse state in Hutton space, and that's the civil unrest in Wolf 359. Have supplies of the Don's moustache wax been hijacked again? Who knows? Anyway, redeem Hutton bounties, or combat bonds for that matter, at Hutton-controlled stations in the Wolf 359 system. During the week, pirate attacks were swiftly dealt with in Wolf 124 and Trepin, so well done to the truckers who reacted quickly and decisively to those. At the top end of the Hutton system league, eight systems are above 60%. That's a third of them. Come on, guys, how hard is between 40 and 60 to remember? How about 50%, give or take a bit? Is that easier? Custodians, get a grip of your systems. Call for help where and when needed. We're not in expansion yet, but we will be. Just wait. Meanwhile, in Colonia, Grand Paladin Hanky asked that truckers work for Hot Colin Pythias to win the election there and generally boost Hot Col influence in ECP and Tier. We still need to leave Hotel Carson and Ari, where other factions are complaining to the hotel management and trying to have us evicted. At last! Priorities this week. If you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence of the lowest four systems mentioned earlier, including Ross671, and particularly Alpha Centauri as it recovers from the war. If you want to shoot something, kill pirates and turn in the bounties at Barnard Star to shorten the lockdown, and also in Wolf 359 to shorten the civil unrest. We still need to leave Carson and Ari, so fight for Carson and Ari Limited against Hutton.
This is Norma Snockers, bringing you the latest information on community organised events from around the galaxy. The Comfy Cannon Cruise, organised by Commander Mephisto, has passed the halfway point of the Fleet Carrier Assisted Visit to all of the 124 waypoints of the Cannon Challenge, and it's taking a very short breather. Commander Mephisto tells us, "In the 12th week of the Comfy Cannon Cruise, nothing noteworthy happened, but travelling will resume on the 7th of June, so expect more tales then. Details of the rest of the cruise are at bit.ly/comfycannoncruise. The Artemis Biological Survey, which will travel around the inner Orion Spur in search of new biological features and exceptional geological formations, is making the last preparations for tomorrow's start. If you hurry, you might just be able to get to the Barathaona system, where the fleet carrier DSN Phileas Fogg will leave in about 1 hour's time at 9 p.m. UTC to bring you Vale West Sector DLY D68 ready for the off. Events over the next few days. Friday 4th of June, 1930 UTC, expedition start party in Vale West Sector DLY D68. 21:30, fleet carrier departure from Vale West Sector DLY D68 to Seagull Sector DLY D3. Sunday 6th of June 1930 UTC, mass jump from Seagull Sector DLY D3 system. Details, including their Discord, being operated jointly in English and in French, can be found at bit.ly Artemis Survey 2. Remember that the rescheduled Texan Lacon massacre will go ahead on the 12th of June at 2100 BST, 2000 UTC. In this event, pilots will be taking Type 7s into the hard space in Wolf 1481 to act as pirate bait. Each T7 will be escorted by two small and one medium ships. The goal is to defend the T7 while it mines and racks up some bounties with the escort ships, and our very own apology officer will be one of those brave pilots, souls. Come on then, pirate with an unlikely or amusing name if you think you're hard enough. Details are on our Facebook events page. We have told you before, so don't say we didn't warn you. The July 18th Hanky Party is getting ever closer, celebrating his 6th fleet carrier. Schedule on our Facebook events page. And that's all the news that we have on community-led events. Flossie will be along later to update us on events organised by the Pilots Federation.